My name is Victor Kubik. Welcome to another episode of the Inside United podcast. We are pleased today to have Ben Light as our guest. Now, we actually did this podcast 2 years ago, almost to the day, and we did a fantastic podcast. Unfortunately, it disappeared.
Into the ether somewhere.
Yeah. It never went on the air. So welcome to Inside United,
Ben. Thank you. It's good to be here again.
The reason that Ben is here in the studio is that there is a camp conference, a camp directors conference here at the home office, and he's here because I think since the last time that we had this conference, he's become a full camp director.
Yeah. I directed down at Southwest Camp this last year.
Southwest Camp. Okay. But he does far more than camp. He's been pastor of churches in Salem, Oregon, but also in Eugene and Roseburg.
Yep.
And he's been doing that for 4 years. And it's just amazing how quickly time
It is. It really is. It's hard to believe it's been 4 years.
But also he's been involved with an area that I have always appreciated, which is the international area.
Yeah.
And talk about international area in some of the most difficult areas of the world, especially in West Africa and other places that he's gone to. So he has very, very well rounded and has had an adventuresome spirit and is quite a communicator. So that's my introduction here.
Oh, it's a very nice introduction. Thank you.
And we've been talking here about what can we talk about today? And we both came upon a topic that we both hate. We thought that what can we talk about? Well, what's been on the minds of everybody for the past almost 2 years?
Yeah.
It's been COVID.
It has.
But I said, let's turn that lemon into lemonade and talk about some positive aspects of things that we've learned, not about things that have annoyed and irritated us, because we can do that for the next 2 hours.
Absolutely.
But we can take certain lessons from it that can help us look forward. So I'm going to ask you, Ben, to please start this off. Tell me, if you want to start with COVID, fine, but maybe tell me about some of the things that have been your favorite things that you have done with youth and working with youth and even pastorally, and we'll get into some lessons.
Sure. Well, it's been, like you mentioned, it's an incredibly varied experience pastoring. You know, you have opportunity to be with people in some of their most joyous moments, and you have opportunity to be with them in some of their most heart-wrenching. And so it's a very roller coaster kind of ride sometimes emotionally. And, having the opportunity to be a part of a person's life during all of those things, during the joys and during the challenges, I think it's a beautiful thing. It really is.
It can be also very tempting to jump from one extreme to another because regarding the COVID thing, there have been viewpoints as to what's right and what's wrong and what should be done and what shouldn't be done. And I think that we kind of know all that. It depends about what TV channel you turn into what direction it goes. But then you have people in your care that you have to serve.
Right.
And you try to find how can you have serve a body that does have extremes in one end that goes from conspiracy to it doesn't exist.
Right. Well, yeah. And I think the critical piece is just trying to find a way to try to keep as even of a keel as possible, and trying to find a way to recognize, like you said, this is, I think the last 2 years, in many ways have been some of the most challenging that we as a nation have faced in quite some time. And I think it has been, like you said, it's been very polarizing. In many ways, COVID's been politicized. It's been weaponized in some ways. Mm-hmm. And so, you have this situation, but at the same time, you also have a very real potential threat for individuals that have health issues, that have challenges, that have, other, maybe are more susceptible, so to speak, to the more severe situations. And so, you don't want to be to the point where you lock yourself behind the doors of your home and Lysol anything that comes through the door. But at the same time, you also don't want to be so, laissez-faire about it that you have, just kind of put your head in the sand. So it's trying to find that middle of the road that is acknowledging the threat and acknowledging the concern, for individuals' health, because they're very real issues. And yet at the same time, trying to still have some focus and semblance of life and a forward momentum of preaching the gospel and doing a work and, finding ways to intersect with society in those ways.
To me, ever since the COVID thing hit in 2020 in about March or so, my first concern was the safety of our people.
Absolutely.
The safety of our people, no matter what anybody said.
Right.
People say, let's cancel services, let's cancel it for 1 or 2 weeks. Oh, how could we do that? What about the safety of the people? And I would have felt very, very badly if somebody would have died and I just took it you know, very, very lightly.
Absolutely. Well, and I mean, you know, there's clearly biblical command. You know, you have a situation that you are commanded to assemble for the Sabbath. You're commanded to assemble for the holy days. You know, you're commanded for these things to be able to come before God, to worship before Him. And yet you also have situations where there are very real potential threats health-wise to individuals. And a balance of that is, I think it's critical. And just trying to find kind of that middle of the road, so to speak. It's human nature, I think. And we as people, we tend to drive the road ditch to ditch. You know, you end up on the one side and then, oh no, you kind of overcorrect and go to the other side. And so it's like trying to find that in between that allows you to mitigate as much risk as humanly possible, but still be able to fulfill, you know, the commanded assemblies that God has provided.
Well, I think that the commanded assemblies thing has perhaps taken a direction that maybe we didn't intend it to be, because it's an adjective. They are assemblies that are commanded on certain days.
Yeah.
But there's also provision for that if you're sick, there's a war.
Sure.
And even the Passover, which is a commanded assembly, you know, if you can't make it, or if you're even on a trip, it's set. You know, that's the biblical excuse there that usually we could kind of get around, but nonetheless, you were allowed another service, another time.
Yeah.
So I think that people sometimes use this information for their advantage or for their viewpoint.
Oh, for sure. And, you know, I mean, we have a situation, you know, if you have a conversation with somebody and they're talking about how, you know, a webcasted service, for example, I mean, we want to be very careful. If you're able to be there, you know, and you're able health-wise and you're able to be present, that's wonderful. But we have people who health-wise simply can't attend services. They're shut in for whatever reason. Are we saying that what they're doing at home on the Sabbath on a webcast is not acceptable? You know, I don't think that's the case.
No,
I don't think so. I don't think that's the case in the least bit. You know, God makes provision for those kind of things for individuals who aren't able to be in those places at that time.
Right. I don't want somebody to go to church with they're limping mentally.
Yeah.
They just really can't be there, but they want to be there because they feel like they have to be, and their immune system is compromised.
Sure.
And they're put at risk.
Yeah.
On the other hand, I'm very concerned about the fact that we have these assemblies, and there's a purpose for assembling. Mm-hmm. There's a purpose for assembling so that we could encourage one another.
Absolutely.
And support each other. And I'm just concerned, one thing I'm concerned about is that you could get too comfortable.
Yep, absolutely.
You can start watching services at home, and then you just don't get around to getting dressed.
Right.
You sit there, you're drinking coffee
and suddenly holy time is not so holy.
And then it's just easier to fall away. And then your faith begins to cool. That is my concern.
I share the same concern. You know, it's in some ways it can be very comfortable, and it can be very easy to get into that position and to be in that place.
I know for a pastor who looks at his responsibility, and all of us have metrics of our effectiveness.
Yeah.
One of those metrics is the number of people that are there. So we look at that.
Yeah.
There's also other metrics that are not so numeric. They're subjective metrics, you know, as far as morale, as far as camaraderie, esprit de corps of a church. And so we have to right now measure those things or evaluate those things and say, God, am I doing what I'm supposed to be doing?
Absolutely.
You know, am I saying the things that I should, or am I saying things that are annoying and irritating? And
right. Yeah, it does. I think it causes a great deal of introspection. You know, I mean, as we've seen, and I know my congregations, it's not, you know, we're not alone in this. You know, we are seeing less attendance at the moment. And it's for a variety of factors. You know, it's for a variety of factors. Individuals that are, you know, partly maybe symptomatic or something, they're not really sure. It's not COVID, but it's, you know, they've got a cough or they've got a sniffle or something that's not COVID. And thankfully, they're doing the biblical mandate and they're remaining at home and not spreading that to other people. And then you'll see them in a couple of weeks when they're feeling better and they'll be back. But, you know, it ends up doesn't seem like, at least, you know, we got hit pretty hard locally after the feast, but it doesn't seem like, you know, you have a situation where they're all sick at the same time. It's kind of, you know, one and then the next. And it's, you know, most of the time it's benign. It's nothing major. But sometimes it is COVID and sometimes it is more serious.
Well, my wife had COVID,
you know,
tested positive. She was only down for really a couple of days.
Oh, good.
And actually, it was very, very simple, but it was sniffles, but she was very, very tired.
Yeah.
But the whole process of things, I loaded the dishwasher.
There you go.
I took care of some things.
There you go.
You know, I did some things around the house, and actually we had some very, very good time together, you know, kind of talking through that in the busyness of our work. You know, I feel like I've got to do all these big things, important things, and leave things with her.
Yeah.
And it was actually kind of sweet for us to kind of watch each other. So there are benefits to that. And then, of course, I quarantined myself, too, so that I wouldn't pass on what she had.
Absolutely. And I think that's a critical piece. I think, you know, everything that we do, we have to consider, and it has to be out of love for one another. You know, we've really got to be considering that and thinking about that and just doing what we can to ensure that, you know, we don't want to give this to somebody that might be, I mean, we may get over it just fine. And I mean, my whole family got it. We got sick at the beginning part of August, kind of second week of August. But unfortunately, in that illness, there was a member in the area we were in where we got it that did in fact die. Mm-hmm. And, you know, so it's, you know, you want to do everything you can to protect. And I think that's the aspect of the ministry that I think some people maybe don't always understand. You know, you're viewing a congregation in many ways like a flock of sheep and as a shepherd, you know, and obviously we have a much greater shepherd than us. And I'm so thankful for that because, you know, I am definitely not to the degree that shepherd is, but I certainly, you know, you do end up in that place where you love the people that you serve. You absolutely love them. You love them. You know, you want to protect their health. You want to protect their mental well-being. You want to do everything that you possibly can. And you view the threats to those people as threats to you, you know, and you are like, how am I going to stand in front of this and protect this group of people and try to divert it or try to protect it in some way? Mm-hmm. And, you know, that balance is tough too. Mm-hmm. And just trying to find ways to do that.
Well, Ben, 2 years ago, you know, we would never thought we'd be going through this experience. We were just living life as it came, one event after another. And now I feel like there are a couple of big things here that we have come to be confronted with. And one of them is the word that you had mentioned, love.
Yeah.
And from the very beginning, I did that in my writings, you know, to the church, is that how do we love one another? How do we show that care? Love is more than just some type of adjective or noun. It's a verb.
Yeah, you know? Absolutely. It's action.
It's action. It's the way that you actually act towards people.
Absolutely.
And here recently, we've had some more people write and speak about the subject of judging and not judging. And all these lessons, I feel like, are a spinoff from what's happened that we need to containerize and say, here's what we've learned from COVID. We've learned how to love one another. We've learned how to be patient with one another. We've learned how not to judge one another, more than just little aphorisms or platitudes that we pin on our, you know, refrigerator or bulletin board.
And just trying, I think, to figure out, you know, the reality with this whole entire thing. I mean, since the very beginning, everybody's in so many different places from a standpoint of their thought processes on it and the way that they think about it. And, you know, I sometimes maybe can, and I personally, and I think everybody does this in many ways, we struggle with having a look at, like, of course, we're going to think of it in a certain way and we're going to think, well, I'm right. I mean, that's just the way it is, right? So you hear something different and you kind of go, well, that doesn't sound right. But, you know, perspective is important. And the way that people see things is important. And, you know, I think, like you said, when you have, you know, we talked about this in education sometimes when we're doing parent-teacher conferences, for example, you want to have a third party, you know, that's there. So you've obviously got the parent and you've got the kid and you've got yourself. And if you're talking to the parents about the kid's behavior for whatever reason and you're saying, well, so-and-so's doing this and whatever else, and the parent goes, well, no, he's not. Well, you don't have a third party. But if you've got that little piece of paper right there that you can say, okay, this is what was agreed to, this is what we're doing, talk to me a little bit about how you're doing this, you know? Mm-hmm. That third party is what governs the relationship in many ways. I think, like you talked about, that love aspect of things, if we're thinking about it in that way, and if we're looking at it in that way and thinking about how can I govern this particular interaction in a loving way, you know, and recognizing that people are going to be in different places and people are going to have different thought processes on it. But, and in some ways it's not my goal necessarily to beat them over the head and say, this is how I see it, so therefore you should see it the same way. It's trying to understand the perspective and figuring out how can I still show love to this person, even though we may disagree in this particular place. And at the end of the day, we're still brothers, we're still sisters. Mm-hmm. You know, we're still pushing for the same greater, larger goal, you know, which is the kingdom of God. We're both still focused on that. And yeah, this may be something that's a momentary distraction. Mm-hmm. But the reality is, at the end of the day, that's where we're going. And that's what we're still working towards.
Well, I know that as servants in our congregations or whatever forum we're in, beating people over the head, either with words
it doesn't end well at all. It never convinces anybody.
No, and it galvanizes
them further. Yeah.
And so we've learned that process.
Absolutely.
You know, to say things that are sarcastic or anything. All it does is enrage them. I mean, take a look at the difference between the TV channels.
Absolutely.
As to where they're at. You know, they shout invectives towards the other, who shout invectives back, and it's just drawn further people further apart and caused division in our country.
Yeah.
It's caused serious division in our country.
And I think that's the concern, is I think that's the example that we see. That's the, you know, when was the last time you saw two individuals sit down and have a civilized discussion about something they disagree with? I mean, what we see in many ways is we see Twitter exchanges, or we see, you know, sound bites, or we see, you know, it's never the full story. It's always the picture that, you know, is painted in some ways. And I think, you know, the risk that we run, I think right now, we talked earlier about youth and camps and other things. You know, unfortunately, in some degree, that's the example that we see. And that's the example that our youth are growing up in. And I think one of the positives and the strengths about our camp program is that we're really trying to illustrate and to show, look, God's got a different way to do this. You know, God's way works. Mm-hmm. It works. If you do it, it works. And so you have that opportunity to instruct. And this last year's camp session, you know, the kids were so thankful to have a chance to get together. Mm-hmm. I mean, we had to cancel our camps in 2020 as a result of the pandemic. And, you know, we were able to get together in 21 and have camp. And the kids were so incredibly thankful to do that. And I think our theme that year that we had, you know, be anchored to God, I think God knew we needed that.
Mm-hmm.
Because you take a look at the, you know, the last couple of years, that's the message here, really, truly. When you look at what we're dealing with, the answer is anchor yourself to that which does not drift and which does not move and remains set.
Well, I remember that be anchored to God theme. You know, I wrote the introduction
for the camp magazine.
In the camp magazine, and I talked about being anchored to God. And I never thought that it would be as important for this particular
critical
for this situation.
Yeah.
And I know that different ways in which we relate to God, it's not him up there somewhere, but here it's anchored. And I feel too, in my personal interactions with the church and with people and God, is that God is just very, very close. I need to have him close. I need to have
him.
And the thing is that he is close if we want him to be.
Absolutely. Yes, he is. And I think that was the, you know, one of the big aspects of it for us the last year. And, you know, we looked at Wednesday, for example, at camp, our sub theme was weather the storm. And it was this idea that, you know, you're going to have storms in life. I mean, you're going to have unbelievably difficult times in life that threaten to just tear your ship to pieces and set you adrift. You know, look at Paul's life and putting out multiple anchors, you know, in some of the situations he dealt with. But, you know, in these particular situations, looking at the kind of storm that is just going to tear you to pieces and realizing, like, you know, God doesn't always take you out of the storm, but he's always there. And he's always holding on, and he's with you, and he's riding through that storm with you and protecting you and helping you and strengthening you so that you can bear it.
Mm-hmm.
Because without him, I mean, we're adrift.
Well, here at the camp conferences, what is the theme for this coming year?
I don't know if I'm allowed to say that. Am I allowed to say that?
We'll edit it out.
Yeah, just be a nice dead air. The theme is, we're looking at becoming sons and daughters of God for this next year for our primary theme.
Okay.
Yeah.
And I'm sure.
You can edit that out, right, Chaz?
Okay.
That way Mr. Newsman doesn't get me.
This won't go on for another four weeks
right.
or so. But anyway, I feel like that's important too. That talks about a relationship with God.
It is. And that's, you know, that's the end goal. I mean, that's what we're all in this for. That's what we've been called to become. That's what we've been offered an opportunity for. And, you know, to be able to have that adoption into his family as spirit beings and to be able to, you know, just that's what we're here for.
Mm-hmm.
And at the end of the day, that's the message. That's the gospel. That's all these aspects that we look at what we do and why we do it. It's because of that, ultimately.
You know, you're one of our younger ministers, if we can put it that way.
I just turned 41. So.
Okay. Well, I'm
bringing the average up a little bit.
30 years ahead of
yeah,
you.
Yeah, exactly.
But I know that even what's happened in the last 2 years is that it's changed my outlook, you know, just to be a lot more flexible with people. What would you say is the number one thing that this experience has brought into your personal life, into the way you manage people and how you speak and how you handle things?
It's a really good question. I would say that I think it's just made me that much more cognizant of the fact that we don't all see things the same way. Especially, I don't mean that from a standpoint of like doctrinal integrity. I mean, you know, but we don't all, I mean, there's some aspect, I guess, to that as well. You know, we don't always see doctrinal things in the same way. But I guess just recognizing that, you know, the viewpoint that I have is not necessarily the same viewpoint that someone else may have on some of this, you know, and where my trigger points are going to be are not necessarily going to be the same trigger points that someone else has. For example, for me, you know, Oregon, we've had significant mandates. I mean, since the very beginning of all of this, I mean, we were masked starting March of 2020, and we've been masked essentially through the pandemic. We had 1 month in July where we didn't have masks, and then Delta hit and they remasked everybody. So personally for me, I don't like it, but it's not a trigger point for me. For other folks, it really is. And it's a real challenge. And it's, you know, there's a variety of reasons for that. I think for me, trying to recognize that just because I see it one way does not necessarily mean that that's the only way to see it, especially in those sorts of issues where they are not doctrinal things, you know, where they are not specific, you know, instructions from God in that way. But just recognizing that just because I can handle it in this way doesn't mean someone else can. In the same way. And so trying to respect that difference and trying to find a way that we can take two diametrically opposed viewpoints, potentially, and yet still get everybody moving forward. You know, I mentioned this in a message recently. The last, you know, several years, it's felt as though, you know, we've been under attack in some ways. And, you know, primarily from all these different things. And, you know, you think about the Wild West and what happened when the wagon train got attacked? Well, you circled the wagons, but when you circle the wagons, you stop moving forward. And so it's a matter of trying to figure out, yeah, we have these different viewpoints. We have these different ideas. We have these different things, but the fact is we still need to move forward. There's still work to be done. The gospel still needs to be preached. We still need to be doing this. We need to be, you know, serving and helping one another. And it, like you said, encouraging one another, you know, sharing those gifts of encouragement and other things with our brethren and strengthening one another.
Well, but I'll tell you a little thing that I've learned. Maybe it's not little, it's big for me. But I know that none of us like to be criticized. None of us like to have somebody says, I don't think you're right there. And here's what you should be doing and should be thinking.
It's hard.
And somebody who takes your work, it not only criticizes it, but demeans it.
Right.
And I have learned to really listen to those people.
Yeah.
There's some things that I said, well, maybe I shouldn't have been that strong, or I shouldn't have been so dogmatic.
Sure.
Or I shouldn't have personalized it to the point that where's my persona, and that if you question it, that you are destroying my or downgrading my persona. And I have learned, because I work with people very, very, very closely who have a different viewpoint.
Sure.
They really see things different. And I don't see it that way. I don't see it, or at least strongly that way.
Yeah.
And I have learned to not be so sensitive to that. And I would say that this type of thing that's happened this last year, or the dynamics of this pandemic crisis, have taught me just to be a little bit more mellow as to how I deal with a broader group of people.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely. You know, like you mentioned, we used to have a thing we'd say in education, good data, bad data, it's all data. You know, if it's a criticism, if it's some, it's still data. And it's still something you can use to formulate a path forward. And, you know, I think that's important, you know, to listen to that criticism as well as the praise.
And also another thing too, is that 2 years from now, what will we be facing in 2 years from now?
Who knows?
we don't know. We had the pandemic.
Yeah.
Then we had the vaccine issues.
Yeah.
Then we've had other, you know, things. Now we're having supply chain issues.
Absolutely.
You know, I went to a major store, you know, Costco, actually, and I was surprised as to how some of the aisles were emptied.
Yeah.
I thought, is this a precursor to the future? My wife asked me to pick up some items.
Yeah.
They weren't available.
Right.
Everything is supposed to be available all the time.
This is America.
This is America.
This is what we have.
And all of a sudden, things were not right there.
Yeah.
Also, right now, this is not a secret either. You know, with the Beyond Today magazine, this next issue is going to be delayed for 2.5 weeks.
Oh, wow.
Because there is a paper shortage.
Oh, interesting.
And in fact, they were telling us that also for the next issue, it'll be a paper shortage, and that some of their other clients have had to cancel that magazine for that particular issue and go online only. And I thought, well, at least we can get our magazine out.
Yeah.
So this is the type of thing we may be facing, to be facing shortages in critical things.
Well, I think, and that's one, you know, one beauty of knowing what we know from Scripture is that we understand that there's a time coming that is going to be challenging. You know, this isn't the peak of the time of troubles that we're going to see. I mean, this is the beginning, and this is the birth pangs, so to speak, of things to come. And, you know, I think that's the part that's a little bit of a challenge when you think of it in that way. It's like, how am I doing with regards to what we're dealing with now? Because it could get worse. Mm-hmm. And it will get worse.
Well,
you know, and
one of the petitions, you know, in the model prayers, lead us not into temptation.
Absolutely.
Or into sore trial, as yeah. one of the translation has it. And that's something that was, well, you know, that's a given. I can just kind of go over that. But lead us not into hard times.
Yeah, hard, or, difficult times.
Or at least, if we do face those hard times, to have the tools to be able to manage it properly.
Absolutely. Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, we're all going to face difficulties and challenges. And it could be that supply chain is the next thing that's going to go. Mm-hmm. You know, you look at, I mean, you've traveled abroad, you know, you've been mm-hmm. to places that, you know, classify as quote unquote third world countries. And, you know, we have brethren there. We have lovely, lovely people there that are just so incredibly wonderful examples of living God's way and so excited about the truth. And yet, you know, they live in countries where it's difficult to get stuff. And it's, you know, we've always been very blessed in the United States in that way that, you know, we're able to find things, like you said, 24/7. If I need it, it's at Walmart.
Or online.
Or online, yeah. It's Amazon. It shows up at my house by drone, right? So, you know, but we're that's not the case now. I've seen more and more as I go around to places in town saying, you know, hey, be patient. We're short on staff. Or be patient. We don't have this, 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 or this. The Starbucks doesn't have hazelnut flavoring. I mean, they say it's seasonal. I don't believe
that. Well, actually, the place I went to yesterday was in the Chicago area, yeah. was Starbucks, and they said, sorry, we're out of certain elements,
but
we have supply problems.
Yeah.
And they had my two least favorite coffees.
But I think it's happening everywhere. Mm. You know, I think it's happening everywhere. And I think, you know, is that going to be the next big thing? You know, we've always, you know, thought about it from a standpoint of where could things go? You know, we've never seen an America that, at least in my lifetime, we've never seen an America that's hungry. Mm-hmm. I mean, really, truly hungry, mm-hmm. like haven't had a meal in a few days, kind of hungry. And, you know, things could come apart real quick if that situation were to be the case.
Well, our country is so dependent on the trucking industry.
It is.
And things being trucked from one
yes,
part of the world to the other. Right now, like the city of New York, you know, many, many, 20 million people or so, there's just a steady stream of trucks that come yeah. from the West
yeah.
that continue to supply that city, and there's only like a 14 to 20 day food yeah. supply. What would happen if that was just arrested and stopped?
Society itself could come apart real quick,
mm-hmm.
you know, from that standpoint. I mean, we've got similar situations on the West Coast right now. We've got cargo ships parked off the West Coast that can't get into port, and they can. And there's a variety of reasons why. Some that are trying to go to different places, they're finding that there's even more delays at other ports, and, mm-hmm. you know.
Yeah, like
here we are,
Long Beach Harbor, you know, yeah. or you know, yeah. Down there, there's a line of ships 100 miles long
amazing?
Trying to get in.
Well, it's interesting. Mr. Moody and I have sat on the beach at camp in Lagos, and you can see the ships lined up off the shore, you know, at night. It's just this line of lights, you know, it's similar coming into Lagos and coming into some of the other ports.
This whole world is so intertwined.
It is.
That if, you know, things aren't locally produced, where people live off of that, they rely on things coming from all over the world.
Absolutely.
And that could really be yeah. something.
And when you've got a global pandemic and you've got, you know, other political issues and other things, you know, you've got some of those machinations just kind of mm-hmm. grind to a halt.
So I believe that those petitions in the prayer that Jesus Christ gave, everything from give us this day our daily bread
yep.
are going to become very, very real. And also lead us not into temptation.
Yeah.
And also deliver us from the evil one are going to become very real.
I think
And something that's more than just something that you recite and rattle through yeah, very, very quickly.
It's not a platitude.
So I think that we in the ministry need to prepare our people for this, not to scare them.
Right.
Because we're all part of it too. You know, we get as frightened as ourselves, as anybody else in the congregation,
sure.
because of the shortages or hardships or whatever, or death that comes to all of us, to those around. But to also prepare ourselves to look to a higher power, to look to God to protect us.
Yeah, that's it. I mean, you don't want to be in a situation where you're, you know, paralyzed in fear. But, you know, it's okay to be scared a little mm-hmm. bit. You know, it's okay to be uncertain a little bit about what's coming. But, you know, just that recognition that we serve a God that is powerful and mm-hmm. is able to do incredibly mighty things. And just being able to rely on him and be anchored to him and weather the storm as it comes.
Mm-hmm.
Just be ready for that.
Ben is one of the easiest people to talk to. He's just very enjoyable as a friend, as a fellow minister, and a person who is just loaded with ideas.
I appreciate it.
So I think we'll leave it at this. Thank you so much for joining us here on Inside United.
Yeah, thanks for the invite. It was a pleasure.
Well, thank you for listening to Inside United. Please tell your friends about the weekly Inside United podcast. You can write to us at podcast@ucg.org. We'd love to hear from you. podcast@ucg.org. You can find us on the ucg.org website on the main menu line. Click or tap on podcast. Or also, we're on Spotify. You can reach us on Spotify. Go to podcasts and search for Inside United. Also, we're available across all other podcast apps, both on Apple and Android. So thank you for joining us. Have a great week. We'll see you again soon.
This is a production of the United Church of God. For more, visit ucg.org.